can title it True Acceptable Worship is possible only in Christ and in His body. True acceptable worship. If worship is going to be true, if it's going to be acceptable to God, that worship can be done only in Christ and in His body, which is His church. In today's lesson, what we'll be doing is lay the foundation for the lesson in the Old Testament. Mark, you, the passage that was read was taken from the passage of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10 through around verse 13. But that passage is in fact relating some Old Testament truth. So today's lesson will surround those Old Testament truth. I beg you to strive to gather as much as you can from today's lesson so that when we pick up next week, you will be with us where we are in the lesson. Worship. We don't want the time that we spend here from week to week be wasted time. We don't want to spend this time in vain. So this is why I come back to the fact that true, acceptable worship is possible only when it is done in Christ and in His body, which is His church. In laying the foundation today, in today's lesson, part of the goal and objective is to help us to know and understand God better. To know and understand and appreciate the alienating effect of sin. Yes, alienating. Alienating effect of sin. And to understand worship better. While we'll be going to the Old Testament, or relating Old Testament institution, etc., that will also help us to understand what it means to worship God. The inspired writer of the book of Hebrews, it is assumed that the Apostle Paul is the one who wrote this book. But this writer drew a remarkable parallel. When you speak about parallel, you are talking about two things that runs alike. They look alike. They are not the same, but they look alike. Are run along the same path. And the writer of Hebrew drew, I said, a remarkable parallel between the sin offering of the Old Testament and the death of Jesus Christ. That's what the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 9 through 13 is doing. Let us listen to it again. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9 through verse 13. Let us listen to it. And please listen as the brother read.
Be not carried about with divers.
Don't be carried about. Word divers mean different. With different.
And strange doctrines.
And strange doctrine. Wait. You see, the Bible, God has interest in doctrine. Brother Mitchell, what is doctrine? The teaching we get. God has keen interest in that. Read on. And what the passage is saying, don't be tossed here and there with different doctrine. Many of us, as the new religious doctrine come, we run to it. That's not good. Read on, brother.
For it is a good thing.
For it is a good thing.
That the heart be established.
That our heart, that is our mind, be established. With grace, Yes. Read on.
Not with meat.
Not with meat. Read on.
Which have not profited them. That have been occupied therein. We have an altar.
Wait, now, did you know that I'm just now getting to what I wanted to get to? Verse 10.
We have an altar.
We have. We who? The Christian. We have an altar.
Whereof they have no right.
Whereof. Wait. Get this. There some people don't have any right to this altar. Who are they? Read now.
To eat which serve the tabernacle.
Those who are still hanging on to the tabernacle worship. Those who are still holding on to Old Testament institution, they do not have any right to our altar. What is our altar? Jesus Christ. Wait, Brother Mitchell, do you understand that passage correctly, Brother Mitchell? Yes. And are you saying, Brother Mitchell, that the inspired writer is saying some people, by their association with a religion that is of the past, they cannot participate with us at our altar, Christ? Yes. The point being made in these verses is that no person. Do I have your attention? You said no? That no person can ever benefit from the Almighty God's grace in Jesus Christ while at the same time holding on to the law or any part of it. You know, it is surprising. This is one of the most straightforward statements that is made in respect to the fact that a man or a woman must make a complete break with the Old Testament system, if ever you are going to benefit from Jesus Christ. That they cannot participate at our altar. Our altar is Christ. If they are still holding on to Old Testament institution. No, that is God-inspired writer telling us that. It is a contradiction, and it is an impossibility for one to be holding on, because in fact, this was what was happening to the Jews, or with the Jews to whom the book of Hebrew was written. The book of Hebrew was not written to church leaders as such. It was written to the Christian Jewish population in Judea and those places, the book of Hebrews. And there were Jews in the church who were still holding on to the Old Testament system, including its worship, and holding on to Christ. That's right. The passage and the consideration is saying you can never benefit from God's grace in Christ if you are doing that. Let us look briefly at some of the things under consideration here. Under the Old Testament system, the animal carcasses of the Levitical offering were not all gotten rid of or disposed of the same way. I need to repeat that. Under the Old Testament system, the sheep or cow that was brought for sacrifice, their body was not disposed of in the same way. One, some were completely consumed on the altar. This was the case of the burnt offering, where the entire, or almost the entire, animal body was burned at the altar. This is the case with the burnt offering. Other of these animal sacrifices, the fat was burned on the altar while the flesh was eaten by the priests and by the offerer of that altar. That is, the priest would get a portion, and the person who brought the sacrifice, that sheep or cow belonged to him or her, that person also got part of it. That was the case with the peace offering. I've listed two offerings already, the burnt offering and now the peace offering. But watch here now, watch here now. With the sin offering, that was a different category. And this is what is under consideration in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 10. The sin offering, pointing to Jesus Christ. Let us hear verse 10 again, brother.
We have an altar.
We have an altar.
Whereof they have no right to eat which serve the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary,
mm-hmm,
by the high priest.
Wait, what the writer of Hebrew, you know, the writer of Hebrew is taking us back into Old Testament theology. The writer of Hebrew is taking us back into the theology of Leviticus, particularly Leviticus chapter 16, where all of this is laid out. Brother, I like verse 10 and you. Let me hear it again. Whereof
they have no right.
They have no right
to eat which serve the tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
For the bodies of those beasts.
No. That sounds like he's dealing with some, when he talks about the body of those beasts. He's on point. What beast? The beast that was given for the sin offering. The inspired writer is telling us what happened to their body. The body of those bees. Read, brother.
Whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp.
Wait, the body of those bees, watch here, had to be disposed of outside of the camp of Israel. Now, that seems insignificant, but brother and sister, this has a whole heap of divine meaning in respect to the true sin offering Jesus Christ. A lot of everlasting truth is being taught here. That is, in the way the body of the sin offering was disposed of, none of it could be eaten by anyone. The body of the sin offering had to be disposed of not within the camp of Israel. In the time of Jesus Christ, Jerusalem was a walled city. But before Jesus Christ, you have the camp. As Israel journeyed, they would have camp where all the Israelites live within that camp. Expanded territory of land. That was called the camp. But when the sin offering was given, God stipulated that only the blood should be brought and be sprinkled at that particular place. The carcass had to be disposed of, but the Israelites were not free to dispose, got rid of the carcass just any and anyhow and anywhere. It had to be done outside of their camp. In fact, let us turn to the book of Leviticus, chapter 6, verse 3, and chapter 16, 27 through 28. Leviticus chapter 6, verse 3, chapter 16, 27 and 28. Remember, I said no part of that animal was to be consumed, be eaten by man, and the entire carcass had to be gotten rid of in a particular way. That particular way means you take the carcass, the body of that animal, outside of the camp. That is away from where the Israelites, hundreds of thousands of Israelites, you take the body away from them and burn it. Let us hear it. Chapter 6, verse 3 and then 16. 27 and 28. Let us hear it.
Or have found that which was lost, and lied concerning it, and swear it falsely.
Is that chapter, Leviticus chapter 6, verse 3?
Yes.
Okay, go on with chapter 16 of the same Leviticus. 27 and 28.
And the bullock for the sin offering.
Wait, wait. You're at the right passage, brother. And the bullock, that is a young male oxen or cow. And the bullock
For the sin offering.
For the sin offering.
And the goat.
And the goat.
For the sin offering.
For the sin offering. Wait. Remember, the sin offering especially point to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wait, when the writer said that we have an altar and there are certain people can't participate in our altar. That altar is Jesus Christ. Let me hear what you are reading, brother.
And the bullock for the sin offering,
uh-huh,
and the goat for the sin offering,
uh-huh,
whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place,
mm-hmm,
shall one care for it without the camp?
Shall who?
One.
Shall one
care for it without the camp?
Without the camp mean outside of the camp. Read.
And they shall burn in the fire their skins.
They shall burn
in the fire.
In fire.
Their skins. And their flesh and their dung.
You hear the entirety of that animal had to be burned. But it was not up to any Israelite, the high priest or Moses or anybody to determine where. God told them it had to be burned outside of your camp. Wherever you live, wherever any Israelite live, you have to take the body of that animal and burn it there. Brothers and sisters, you see, when we come to the fact that Jesus Christ was crucified at Golgotha, outside of the city wall of Jerusalem, all this business about the sin offering being disposed of outside of the camp, all of that was pointing to Jesus Christ. And it has significance. Read on, brother. What verse are you?
Verse 28.
Uh-huh.
And he that burneth them.
He who burn
them.
The body of the animal, the very skin. Uh-huh.
Shall wash his clothes.
Wait. Brother Mitchell, I thought you were talking about true acceptable worship is possible only in Christ and in his body. what the brother just touched a word there that we will get into deeper next week. You know, shall do what, brother? Wash
his clothes.
His clothes.
And bathe his flesh.
And bathe his flesh.
In water.
In water. Wait. This is pointing to the holiness of God and man's sinfulness. This is why the lot of washing that we encounter under the Old Testament system, it is highlighting that God is separate and distance from man in his holiness, and that for man to approach God in any form, worship, praising him, sin must first be dealt with. That's the accent there. The person who took the sin offering outside of the camp, before he could come back and join, let's say he live, let's say Kingston is the camp. That's right. The camp of Israel was a large, because keep in mind, if on one occasion when they just left Egypt, it was just 603,000, that's almost 750,000, just counting the male from what? Was it age 18 or 22 up? Then when you count women and children, it would run into probably 2 million people. So let's say the city of Kingston was the camp. Huh? It means when they're ready to get rid, to dispose of the body, of the sin offering, they had to travel to Old Ferry. That's right. way out ferry where nobody no live. That's right. And the person who carried and burned everything, before he can come back and join with the Israelite in Kingston, what he had to do, brother, where is O'Neill? Oh, see him over there, sir.
And bathe his flesh in water.
He has to bathe his flesh in water. Brother Mitchell, what is the significance of that bath? Cleansing. Sin. And the fact that you are coming back to the congregation, to the rest of the Israelite. You cannot just come any and anywhere. So you have to bathe your skin.
Flesh in water.
And bath his flesh in water.
And afterward, he shall come into the camp.
You see, remember what we're dealing with, that worship, true acceptable worship, is possible only in Christ and in his body. The bottom line, brothers and sisters, that we are going to learn in this lesson, it is dramatized amply in the Old Testament, that sin must be first dealt with before you can worship God. That is dramatized over and over in the Old Testament system, the sacrificial system. Should I touch on the fact that even the high priest... Well, let us go on, because we want to cover what we need to cover today. So you have read verse 28, brother. Okay, so we see, not only does he take the carcass of the sin offering. Brother Mitchell, remind me again, what was used from that sin offering? The blood. The blood, and that points to Christ's blood that cleanses us. How do you get under the influence of Jesus' blood? You must be baptized. And I'm just touching that as we move on. You must be baptized. So it was the blood of the sin offering that they used, and the carcass, the body, have to be disposed of in the way the brother has just read. In verse 28 of the book of Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16 verse 27 and 28. And it was 16:3, and I had said 6. Let me hear it, brother, somebody. 16:3.
Thus shall Aaron come into the holy place with a young bullock for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering.
Let us move on. May I? The very plain lesson. Let us run back to Hebrews chapter 13, 10 through 13. Remember, we were in Leviticus chapter 16 just now. That's the original. Let us get back to what the writer of Hebrews in chapter 10, chapter 13, verse 10 through 13. Let us hear it.
We have an altar.
We have. Wait. We do have an altar. Brothers and sisters, if you're a child of God, a true child of God. Wait. We're not talking about church member. A true Christian who have become Christian the Bible's way. We have an altar. That altar is Jesus Christ. Read on.
Whereof they have no right.
Of which, the whereof mean, of which they have no right.
To eat which serve the tabernacle.
To eat or to participate of the blessing of that altar. If they still continue to hold on to any of the old order, that is the Old Testament order. Read on.
For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary.
The body of those beasts, the beast of whose blood was brought into the sanctuary
by the high priest for
sin, the high priest,
are burnt without the camp.
The body of those beasts are burned. Notice how we would, reading that passage, we would easily just can't overburn without the camp, not realizing that that is important truth. Where the body was disposed of is telling us about Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ is the true sin offering. The flesh or the carcass or the body of the Levitical sin offering was disposed of outside of the Israelite camp. We have just read that. Brothers and sisters, get this, get this. It is no accident that Jesus Christ was crucified outside of the city wall of Jerusalem. That's no accident. Look, look, look at Mark chapter 15, verse 22. Mark 15, 22.
And they bring him unto the place Golgotha.
Wait, wait. They brought Jesus Christ to the place that is called Golgotha,
which is being interpreted the place of a skull.
May I drop something here? Watch here now. Are you watching? This place was like a dump. Where the place where the smoke always coming from? Golgotha was like a river tan dump heap. Brother Mitchell, are you telling me that's where Christ was crucified? That's right. And we're coming to something here in Hebrews, because it's going to talk about curse. Golgotha was outside of the city wall of Jerusalem. It was where, like the body of the lepers, are you following me, were thrown. Golgotha, rightly they call it skull, was the dump heap. That's where Jesus Christ was crucified. Are we all there? But on where? Underlining and emphasizing what Jesus Christ went through because of your sin and my sin. Let us hear Deuteronomy 21, 23.
His body says, bury him that day. For he that is hanged is accursed of God.
Wait, wait, wait. You didn't hear that. He that is hung
is accursed of God.
Is accursed of God. Jesus Christ, by having to deal with our sin the way he did, hung on the cross over the extended time, that placed a curse on Jesus Christ. But it is our curse. It is the curse of our sin. So Jesus' curse came, one, on how he died, and on where he died. For Jesus Christ to have been crucified at the dump heap, at Golgotha, is one of the curse that Jesus Christ went through for us. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. You have read verse 10. Let me hear verse 13 of the same passage.
Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp.
Let us go forth unto Jesus Christ outside of the camp. Watch here. You know, brothers and sisters, watch here, you know? It's like a contradiction, you know, because I'm coming back to that when I'm wrapping up in a few minutes. Is that the Jews to whom the book, the Jewish Christian, and those Jews in the church to whom the book of Hebrew was written, they understood this much more than you and I do. They understood the sin offering, the fact that after the blood was taken to be sprinkled inside of the Holy of Holies, that the body of the sin offering have to be disposed of in a certain way, they understood that. And brothers and sisters, let me hear verse 11.
For the bodies of those beasts, mm-hmm. whose blood is brought into the sanctuary mm-hmm. by the high priest for mm-hmm. sin, mm-hmm. are burned without the camp.
Read on.
Wherefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, mm-hmm. suffered without the gate.
Suffered outside of the gate. Read on, brother, read on.
Let us go forth.
Let us, that we, the Christian, go forth.
Therefore unto him.
Therefore unto him.
Without the camp.
Outside of the camp.
Bearing his reproach.
Wait. Outside of the camp, brother, mean reproach. You want business of burning the body of the animal in that wretched place mean a curse. Christ was crucified outside of the camp. But it is not because Christ himself was cursed. It is our curse, our sin, that was represented in where Jesus Christ died. Let us go forth. Read a little more.
Let us go forth. Mm-hmm. Therefore unto him, mm-hmm. without the camp, mm-hmm. bearing his reproach.
If you have to go outside the camp, automatically it is associated with reproach. Like the city dome where the animal body was disposed of. Read on, brother.
For here have we no continuing city.
Here we have
no continuing city.
Uh-huh.
But we seek one to come.
Read on.
By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Mm-hmm. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name.
That's another passage coming up next week. Simple passage. You notice where the sacrifice of praise can be offered to God? It is through Jesus Christ. You know what that implies? Let me not get into that because I have to finish this lesson today. Brothers and sisters, both the manner and the place of Jesus' death symbolize the total break from the Old Testament religious order. Both the manner in which Jesus Christ died, a curse, being crucified. The place that Jesus Christ died, outside of the city, that symbolized that in Christ we have a total break from the Old Testament religious order. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 4. Quick. Galatians 5, 4.
Christ is become of no effect unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Whosoever of you are justified by the law.
Wait. Somebody didn't hear that. Christ. You will not benefit from God's grace in Jesus Christ if you are looking for some of your salvation in the Old Testament system. Read that against, brother. Somebody didn't hear. Jesus Christ has become of no effect unto you.
Whoever of you are.
Of you.
Justified by the law.
Trying to find salvation, justification, holiness from the law.
Ye are fallen.
You will not benefit from God's grace in Jesus Christ. You have to make a break with the law. Jesus Christ, in the place, in the way he died, and in the place he died, was showing that there is a complete break with the Levitical system and with the law. And this is the point in Hebrews chapter 10, 13, as we strive to wrap up. All who would partake of the benefit of Christ's sacrifice must forsake the camp of Israel. That's right. Wait. You see the contradiction? If you want to, you see, the Israelites know this, oh my God, the writer of Hebrews, smart guy. Well, if the Holy Spirit had directed you, you're not more smart. The writer of Hebrews is saying to the Israelites, you Israelites who still want to, you want to benefit from Christ and you want to hold on to the Old Testament system. He said, think. He said, if you want to benefit from the sin offering of the Old Testament that point to Jesus Christ, you have to go at the dumb heap. You have to go outside of the camp. And then an Israelite began to think, said, you know that's true? So the writer said, there is no way you can benefit from that sin offering. Remember, the Almighty God himself stipulate that the sin offering must be disposed of outside of the camp. And if you want in any way to benefit from that sin offering, you would have to go outside of the camp. Because that's where Jesus Christ was killed. And that is why those who still participate in the Levitical system or the Old Testament system, who are still practicing the sacrifice of the tabernacle, they have no right to participate in our sacrifice, which is Jesus Christ. May I? One cannot come to Jesus Christ holding on to any other religion, any other religious leader. I'm making that so. You cannot come to Jesus Christ holding up Ellen G. White, John Smith. No. You cannot come to Jesus Christ holding up Moses and the law. You cannot come to Christ holding up any doctrine other than the gospel or any church other than the church of Christ. How do I know that? Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 and verse 12. Quick, brother. Acts of the Apostles chapter 4 and verse 12. For there is.
In any other.
Wait.
Neither
wait,
is there.
Take time with me now, brother. Neither is salvation in
any other.
That is, there is no other. You notice at other there is either comma or some colon or something. Watch it. you see, it means any other one, any other person, no. Any other doctrine, no. Any other religious founder, no. Any other church, no. You don't come to Jesus Christ and bring any other. You come to Jesus Christ for what he offers. Don't come with any religious leader. And this is why we are told in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2, for I am determined not to know, help me here, anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Talking about Ellen G. White and all them foolishness there. When you come to Christ, you let go of everything and you come to Jesus Christ for what he offers. For there is salvation in no other. Mean no other person, no other doctrine, no other church, no other thing. In fact, you know what? Let me stop here. You don't want me to preach all day. Because we want you back next week. They have no right to eat at our altar who continue to serve according to the Old Testament tabernacle. They don't have any right to Jesus Christ as long as you hold on to any aspect of the Old Testament religion, the old order. You don't have any right. Because what you do, you are saying that Jesus Christ needs some help. You are demoting Christ. You are belittling Christ. You are devaluing Christ. Next week we pick up as we will look on Old Testament worship and some of the things that were required. Most of them pointing to the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the purity of God, man's sin, man's distance from God. And that sin must first be addressed before you can give God worship. The very tabernacle worship highlighted that truth. But right now, you can come to Jesus Christ. Yes, when Jesus Christ was crucified at the dump heap, at the Riverton city of Jerusalem, where the dead lepers, those who died of leprosy and other fear disease, were thrown, that represent a curse. But it is not Jesus' curse, it's your curse and my curse that sin brought on us. But thanks be to God, God fixed it that if you and I reach out to Jesus Christ because he's reaching out to us, then we can get rid of our curse called sin and receive the blessing that is available in Christ. There is salvation in no other, for there is no other name given under heaven whereby men must be saved, except the name of Jesus Christ. We are about to stand and sing a song to God's glory and honor. But it is always a good time and a good chance for you to step forward and to make a commitment to Jesus Christ through faith in him, repentance from sin, confession of his name, and getting baptized so that the Almighty God in Christ can address your sin problem. Jesus Christ right now calls you to salvation. And you know what? If you have any question, if you have any concern, if you have things you'd like to be further clarified, step forward. We are here to help you.